Hundreds of babies are abandoned on the streets of Seoul, South Korea every year. But one brave pastor has made it his mission to save them. See this powerful true story come to life when The Dropbox comes to movie theaters for 3 nights only, March 3rd, 4th, and 5th, with a special performance by Stephen Curtis Chapman. A portion of the producer's proceeds goes to support this pastor's life-saving ministry. Get your tickets now at thedropboxfilm.com.
You know, my wife and I are having some big arguments over getting our kids to help out around the house. I mean, I think they need to have responsibilities, contribute to the family, develop some new skills. But, you know, she feels like they should enjoy their childhood for as long as they can. I mean, what are we supposed to do about this?
Well, you can hear the obvious tension points in that relationship as a husband and wife try to figure out what role do the kids have, if any, in taking care of chores around the house. Now, we're going to tackle that, and along the way, we'll have some fun as we look at some very practical things you can do in your family. This is Focus on the Family with Focus President and author Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, and Jim, we're going to be looking at this with the help of some friends who have joined us here at the studio.
That's right, and you know, when you think of Focus on the Family, you might think this is a small issue when we talk about chores and children and how we teach them these responsibilities. It's important because they're beginning to form their attitudes, and there are some age-appropriate things that really are helpful for parents to employ so that their kids, are ready to launch at 18. And we're going to discuss that today with three great folks. First, Dr. Greg Smalley, who is on staff here at Focus on the Family, his wife, Erin Smalley, who works here at part-time as well, and also my wife, Jean. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about that clip. I'm sure the five of us sitting here, and it's too bad Dean is not here, John.
No, that was by design.
Yeah, I could tell. But let's talk about that clip. There was a lot of emotion there for him as a husband.
Yeah.
He wants it to kind of, you know, go by the letter of the law, and it sounded like his wife is a little more comfortable letting the kids experience life a little easier. So what's happening there?
You know, one, it just illustrates the beauty of a marriage, that here you have two people so different than one another, and that's a part of just living life with another person in a marriage, that you're going to have differences, and so they are, their personalities are very different. What first and foremost, though, needs to happen, long before you figure out how to solve this with the kids, they have to be unified. That is so important. I mean, both have to matter. So what you're trying to do is to take what both want, put those together, but they really need to be actively pursuing, hey, you know what? We as parents, we need to be one. We need to be unified. Tell you what, our kids, I love them. They know when Erin and I disagree. They know who to then go to. And so that's why in this situation, that would be goal number one, is that we need to be unified as a married couple with our kids. But then also to realize, you know, as parents, part of our job not only is to train them up into their relationship with the Lord, but it's to teach them certain things like responsibility, like good work ethic. I mean, those are important. So somewhere in there, those parents need to figure this out, but that's going to happen because they get unified first. Then they can go to the kids and talk this thing through with them.
In fact, we have here at Focus on the Family a list of age-appropriate chores that parents can use with their kids. Mm-hmm. Let's post that online.
Yeah, we will. I'm thinking that'd be a good starting point for this couple. You could hear in his tone that he was pretty disappointed about his wife's approach to this, and that kind of presents, I guess, an objective piece of data that he can bounce off of and they can maybe talk about without feeling too defensive.
Erin uses that list for me, though.
Well, let's talk about that.
That's a whole nother show.
You know, but it is the other end of the continuum, because it's important for us as parents to understand why. Why go to this effort? It's a lot easier just to kind of do it and get it done. Why fight your kids on chores? I'm being a little facetious here, obviously, but I would like an answer to the why question. Why is it important to start at the age-appropriate level? It might be 4, 5, 6, to begin to have kids chip in. What are we teaching them?
Well, like Greg said, we're teaching them work ethic, but beyond that, we're teaching them that they're part of this family unit and that they also have a part that they play in this family, a part of responsibility. I love our kids have had certain chores that they started when they were younger, and they've morphed and changed the level of responsibility over the years, but they know they're theirs. When we pull up from school in the afternoon and the trash can is out on the curb after the trash man has come, Garrison knows. I don't even have to say. I mean, he knows that that is his job to pull that can in.
You don't have it's to say his. Anything?
I don't have to say a thing.
Because that's the point. We're part of the family. And I think that the mistake that we make is just giving out chores without backing our kids up into a deep understanding that we are all responsible for the upkeep and the care of our family. And it takes a lot to manage our family. And that's not just mom and dad. We're not the ones that are just responsible. That's also part of your job. If we don't communicate that, then it's always going to be a constant power struggle. So, you know, because they don't have the value attached to that. That's why I think one of the best things we can do is have a family meeting and really get clear on certain family values. It doesn't mean we're not going to argue, and it certainly doesn't mean that we're not going to have to remind them over and over and over to do things. But our kids really need to understand the foundational values here that are driving a lot of these chores and why we do them.
Well, let's get practical, because some parents are dealing with, let's aim at that 12, 13, 14 level, where, you know, there's a bit of emotional detachment going on. They're starting to separate. And kids at that age, generally, you know, you'll have that child that's always been doing it well, and you don't worry about them as a parent. You could say, you know, have you checked your chore list? Is it all done? Yep, it's all done. Or I'll get it done. There's the other child that it's a fight. And it is a fight. And now the parent, either the mother or the father, or both of them, are really on that child. And they're seeing this as a character flaw now. There's an issue there. Is that a good way to look at it? Or is it a season? Do you look at that and say, you know what? We need to make sure they're doing what they can do. And you take a deep breath and you just continue to chip away at helping them better understand, rather than making it this big fight that ends up damaging your relationship.
Well, with a teenager, we have to remember that just the differences where they're at developmentally, instead of taking that personally, it's important to realize, remember, they're striving for independence. They're beginning to separate. They're wanting less control. They're wanting to figure things out on their own. Friends become so important. And so as a parent, just a few weeks ago, we had three teenagers in our home, and then our 19-year-old became a 20-year-old. But, you know, it's important to keep that in mind. Otherwise, I'll personalize that, and then it becomes this power struggle on, I need to get them to do it my way. And you always, you know, with little kids, we laid it out for them. You know, I need it done this way, and we tell them exactly what to do. They're very compliant, but that's not going to work for a teen. And you don't want it to work that way for a teenager. Part of our job as parents of teens is to begin to release them into learning, okay, how do I do this? How am I fully responsible for this if mom and dad aren't there to tell me exactly how to do it? Otherwise, they're going to suffer in school and then on their own. We'll get them for the rest of our life in the basement. That's not what we want.
Well, one thing we've done, Jim, is we've tried to associate your desire for freedom with some fulfillment of responsibility around the home. So you're only 14 now, but in a couple of years, you're going to want to have access to the car. You've got to demonstrate that I can trust you with the car. And
Perfect.
You can do that by letting me trust you with some chores around the house. So I try to have their eyes a couple of years out when they hit those teen years, because they're living for the moment so much that they're going to wake up and find out that they haven't done anything, and I'm not going to be so inclined to give them too much freedom or help them achieve any sense.
And we're talking in terms of success here. I really want to dig into that couple that's having a hard time with that one son or daughter, and they're just not getting it. And, you know, you can say, make sure your room's cleaned up by Saturday, and many Saturdays they get it, and some Saturdays they miss it. But there's a perpetual, I don't want to, kind of thing going on there. What do you do with that situation?
Well, again, first of all, like we heard with our clip from the beginning, you have to be unified as parents. So if those parents approach this, well, I want you to have a little bit more freedom, and I know you, I want you to relax when you come home. No, they need to be doing it. That's never going to work. And so that's why for that couple has to be unified. Then you go to your kids and really work this thing through. But I think for that child who wants, you know, just a little bit more strong will, you've got to train towards that. You've got to be aware of that. And then how you lay out chores and your expectations will be based on some of that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's how you word it. I mean, for even a toddler who's more strong will, you know, if you're trying to dress them, you can either say, you will dress in these clothes that I'm setting out here, or you can lay three outfits. It's your choice. You know all three work, but it's their ultimate choice. I mean, that's a part of what we have to do with our teens as well.
Well, and I think it's such a key. You're saying that you start this training as a toddler. So the moms that are out there that have these young children, there's greater purpose in training them as young kids around responsibility and, you know, making choices, giving them choices. So as they age and they become teens and then eventually leave your home, they have this inbred in them that we have responsibility, they have the work ethic, and they also then have learned how to make good choices in your home. And it started at, you know, age 2 and 3.
And I think it is very important for us as parents to be okay with how they do the job, especially when they're young. It's true. It is so much easier for you as a parent. It's so much faster to do whatever it is, the task. You get it done more quickly. It's done better, frankly. But then we're not teaching our children anything. And we really do have to let that go, that the clothes won't be sorted correctly or the washcloths folded correctly, whatever it is, or the area isn't going to be cleaned quite as well as what you'd like. But we need to allow our kids the freedom to learn how to do those tasks and to grow in responsibility.
Okay, but this is so funny because the other day I'm having Trent rake pine needles from the rock bed in the front yard. So this rock bed along the driveway, and I talked, you know, I was going to pay him for it. I did pay him for it, but he was to rake these things up, and he did a really good job, but there were some areas that were not perfect. Of course, I come in and I say, hey, let me show you how to get those really hard to get ones. And so I'm sitting there raking like 10 or 15 yards worth of pine needles, and all of a sudden it dawns on me, he's got this big smile on his face and he's just standing there watching me. And I said, oh yeah, now I get it. I'm doing what I asked you to do. Here, you take the rake back. You now go ahead. I was just trying to show you how to do it better. He goes, no, thanks, Dad. It's half done.
But what you're doing, though, is you're clarifying your expectations. And that's part of what our kids need to understand. What are our expectations? I think that's why family meetings are so important, having these rules and responsibilities and chores written down somewhere, because you've clarified what you expect, you've showed them. I know that one of the values that we've really worked on with our kids is that whole idea of serving wholeheartedly from the verse in the Bible. Talk about, you know, serving with everything. Part of doing that is to do it with excellence. I mean, how many times will we ask our kids to go do something and they do it sort of half-hearted? You know, kind of, you know, hey, go hang this up. Well, I made it into my bedroom and it's on the bed.
Yeah. One sleeve will be on the hanger and the rest of it's hanging off.
You know, so, I mean, that's one of the things though, that we need to do is to help them to follow through in a way of excellence that, now, listen, when I ask you to do something, my expectation is that you complete it fully and not just partly. I mean, I'm telling you, I catch them all the time, you know, so will you put the dish in the sink? Well, no, it needs to go into the dishwasher, you know, hang that item up in the closet. So I think that's also part of the value that we're trying to teach them, that which will pay off later as adults.
And I think you referred to this as well, that there's such a relational aspect to it. Just recently, we had two major, huge dump trucks of mulch dumped in our backyard, and it needed to be spread. And so, I mean, the expectation was, hey, this is our house, our yard. We're
family
all going
time.
Out in the back, family time.
Grab a shovel.
But it was, you know what, we had so much fun as a family. The relational aspect of it was that we were all out there together with a task that needed to be completed. And like you said with Trent, you got in there and you were with him. And I think often, you know, we miss out on that. There is a relational building opportunity that's there that we can use to strengthen our relationship with our kids or as a family.
Well, and I think here's the big miss that we often have. We're teaching attitude as we get through the chore. And I think so often for us as adults, we're not thinking that way anymore. It's how fast can I get it done? And so when you're watching your child do that, I know for me as a father, I'm missing that because I'm just about getting the task done, checking it off, and I'm forgetting the relational component, the fact that I'm actually modeling for him how to do it and how to do it with a good attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking of, Greg, how many of us dads, especially when it comes to yard work with our kids, you know, they rake a pile of leaves and they missed half of them.
Exactly.
And you're going, and so often we go, okay, just give me the rake. And we have this attitude of, you don't measure up. That's what we express. You know, you're an 8-year-old and you're just not getting it done right. So you've got to be careful with what you're communicating, don't you?
You really do. And that's why I think that it's easy to get our kids to do something and then to move on to the next task and move on to the next chore. But there is something important about just recognizing, saying to them, you know what, I noticed you did that really well. Thank you for doing that. I mean, to express gratitude mm-hmm. is such an important thing because that's a part of what we're teaching them too, is to express gratitude. But we need to be thanking them as well.
Mm.
And I think part of that too, and you're kind of alluding to this, is to have grace, to keep a bigger picture of, you know, especially with teenagers, what do they have going on? I mean, if they're in the middle of finals week and their bedroom isn't perfect, you know, where's the grace? I know if someone was, you know, looking at me in the midst of, you know, finishing a book or having, you know, just a crazy week or month for that fact, that I would want someone to greet me with grace.
Mm.
And so just to keep it in perspective of what do they have going on, look at the bigger picture. Yes, there are responsibilities that have to be completed. Again, give them a time frame of, you know, this is when my expectation is that you're going to complete this, but then to give them that grace that they're living busy lives as well.
You know, as we have talked about kids chipping in and getting older, there is a need to make sure they're carrying their fair share as well. And that does take some of the burden off the parents. How have you guys managed that in the Smalley household?
You know, we sit down as a family, we divide out chores, we talk these things through. We talked
about,
pull
them out of a hat, or how do you do that?
We have a Focus on the Family gift bag that we put them in and we pull them out of there. Although I tell you, this is one of the things though that creates some conflict between Aaron and I, is that there are times where we're all there in the kitchen and Aaron will say, "Hey Greg, will you go get me this?" And I'm like, there's four other children here. Why is that me?
Children.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Why? Why am I the one having to do that? I mean, we've had that conversation going,
yes,
what
we have.
What is it about, you know, why do you not ask them? Why is it that you're putting that onto me? And I think, well, why is that?
There are times that I just simply ask you. And yes, there are times that the kids can do it, but often with certain jobs, when you ask the kids, then there's a role that I have to play in it.
To manage.
So you're thinking three steps ahead.
Yes, and so it's just more work, and it's easier to have Greg go and do
it. He's a good boy. He's smart. He can get this done.
I don't have to supervise him.
Okay, yeah. Gene and I have the same experience. It hasn't been so much around chores, but it's more about instruction. You know, I'll be standing next to Trent and Troy, and she's upstairs putting something away or something like that, and she'll yell, knowing, I think, that Trent and Troy are nearby, and she'll yell down, "Can you tell Trent he needs two?" And I'm starting to say, "You know, he's 3 feet away from me. Can you address
those
that
on the side of his head
to him?
It helps him hear."
Okay,
and of course, Trent starts laughing because he knows the pattern is here.
All right, in my defense,
yes,
especially Trent has fabulous hearing.
He does.
So part of it, that's twofold.
Is it authority? Is that what
you're getting? Well, part of it is that I believe you are closer to him.
Literally.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what difference does that
make?
Well,
so we could hear you better, but probably the most significant component, and I usually try to say it in kind of muted tones so they can't hear me, I want you to tell them to do, remind them to do the negative things.
Because you don't want to be on.
Because
the
I
hook.
Feel like so often,
and that's fair.
I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
Mom, we do homework. I tell them to clean their room. I'm telling them to pick up. And Dad's just fun and throws the football around. So I am very intentional about that. I want you to tell them.
He's like your wingman in that situation.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yes. The kids now are getting old enough. They're thinking, does Mom think I'm deaf? Hey, Jim, yeah. Tell Trent and Troy to take out the garbage.
Yeah. Well, you can't spell things anymore. Either,
yeah, they spell too.
I mean, what I love about it is when parents show a unified force to the children.
Yeah.
And so in some ways, too, I wonder if it's also that, hey, they're hearing me say this, but if Dad says it too, they know we're unified. It's been clear they have no choice but to go do this. So, I mean, in that sense, that can be a good thing. Yeah, it's just been funny that's where we argue is that I get them to do it. I mean, there are times that I get frustrated feeling that Aaron and I are the only ones really working around here. Why are we the only ones thinking that we have to be 100% responsible? And we've begun to have that conversation with our kids saying, no, listen, look at all that has to happen so that we survive as a family and thrive as a family. You guys also are 100% responsible. So don't give me this. No, well, I go to school. That's my job. You know, and I have to do homework at night. Well, so do I. You know, I mean, we all have to do this. So I think that's one of the things that we've been trying to do is to teach our kids. No. We all have to equally be responsible. So don't wait for us to ask. You look around too. Where do you jump in and help out?
I think, Gene, I give you great accolades because I think Trent and Troy, they're really getting so much better at doing chores around the house. I mean, they really are. And I think it's your consistency that has brought them to this point. It doesn't mean they're always doing it with the best spirit. I mean, they can be, you know, it's Saturday.
That would be a best-selling book if you could figure that one out. Yeah, we figure that out. That's true.
You know, so it does, you know, I think they're doing better with that. But they're good. They're good about keeping their rooms clean. And, you know, on Saturday, they pick up the basement and clean things up. And
well, I appreciate that
it's
compliment.
Taken years.
I think what had to change for me is that, and I laugh, Greg, when you mention that Aaron will ask you to get the cup of water or something when the kids are sitting there. I think for a mother, we do have to transition. It takes us a while. We think of our kids as these little needy people who need us and we need to take care of them.
I heard both.
And I've had to do that in the last few years and realize we were doing a disservice to our children. Jim and I were doing all the packing up for camping and all the unpacking and cleaning the garage. And we realized this is not good for our kids. They are old enough.
What are they learning?
That's right. What are they learning? And they are probably not going to be able to make enough money to hire people to do this for them. So it was a very conscious effort to start asking them to do age-appropriate tasks. And I mean, to make them part of it. They are part of the family. And I love now that my kids, I don't ever have to ask them. They unload the groceries into the van for me, and they have fun putting the grocery cart away and helping pack up for trips and helping
camping.
Unpack. That's very important. And they sort their own laundry and do help around the house. Mm-hmm. And we do. I like the taking a day. Usually it's a Saturday, taking a couple of hours for the family to work together to clean. Obviously, I like that because that helps me. But I do think that's really important
to teach
our children.
But there's something really important with that because it takes time to get them in the right place. I mean, they will complain bitterly. And then it eases up over time as they learn the routine of it. And they know, okay, Saturday, we're going to help clean.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. Just stick with it.
Yeah.
I think to get this done within a family, as we sit down as a family, talk about, again, these values. I think that's such an important part of that conversation is that, hey, one value is we were all responsible here. This isn't mom and dad and your job is just go to school. We're all responsible. We all want to outserve each other. Talk through, what does that look like then as it comes to chores? How do we serve one another? You know, how do we express gratitude? How are we going to decide these things then as a team? Who's going to do what? And then you sit down and just divvy these things out. And thus our expectations are clear. Mm. They know that this is then what I'm responsible maybe for this month or whatever. However you as a family want to do that. And then, you know what? Then as parents, it's our job to also hold them accountable.
I think the other thing, that is good. I think the other thing is your parenting approach to different temperaments. I mean, we have two boys, and they are very different. One is like, what else can I do to help you? And the other one's like, do I have to help you again? And I won't name names in that regard. But that is very typical in a family where the kids have their own style, their own temperament, their own way of doing it. And you have to recognize that. So you might need to put a little more attention on the one that's waning and encourage the one that's struggling and let the other one continue to do a great job.
Yeah, and along the way, how are you releasing control around what this chore actually is supposed to look like when it's completed and allowing them more ownership to really to do it kind of how they think it needs to be done. We've started doing that with our son around the shoveling of snow. And so he knows when it snows, you know, Dad didn't want to get up at 5 a.m. to do that. So how about you do that now when you come home from school? I showed him how to do it. Now he does that. And what I do a little bit differently, I mean, where he ends up piling snow, probably, but it's still done.
How about the snowblower? Have you given him that yet?
We have one. I won't let him use it yet.
Dad, you know your car? It's a lot smaller now.
I sucked up a baseball, and now there's a hole in the
But I think in line with that, too, is giving them an expectation of when it's going to be done. But, you know, giving them a time frame. You know, I want your room cleaned by Saturday. And that, therefore, it gives them, you know, however
freedom.
Long. And I know with Murphy, you know, she has a lot of stress. She's a sophomore in high school and studying and playing soccer. And the kid doesn't get home until like 6:30 at night and been at school all day. That it gives her a time frame, and it also releases her to do it when she can. She gets it done.
Yeah.
Because if she doesn't, she knows there's consequences.
And again, that's knowing the temperament of your child and working that into the chore structure. I think it's brilliant. Well, it's been fun to talk about how to translate chores into the family and into the household. And it's been great to do that with you. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It was great being here.
Yeah, it's not always easy to get your children involved in some household chores, but as we've heard here today, it's really an important part of their growth, and it certainly benefits the family as well. And we mentioned a list of age-appropriate chores, and we're going to link over to it on our website. In fact, it's part of a free downloadable kit available for you today. In there, you'll find a collection of articles and resources that will help you introduce your children to ways they can be more responsible in their daily chores, and you can print off some pages so you have a reusable chore chart there. The kit also has a quiz for children to take to determine where they fit in on a messiness scale. It might be obvious to you, but this will help them kind of understand how they're wired and what they're doing. So there's no charge for the kit. It's available when you stop by focusonthefamily.com/radio. And of course, if you have any questions or you'd like to ask for the CD, you can give us a call, and we'd invite you to donate then as well. Your gifts are the fuel that keeps this ministry going and reaching out through radio programs, movies, websites, and so much more. The number is 800, the letter A, and the word family. 800-232-6459. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family. And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back next time for more trusted advice to help your family thrive.